Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Thursday morning, July the 8th, 2026, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. We're already, you know, it's very interesting. We're already at Thursday this week. And I was thinking, last week, the fair is fun, it was hot, so on and so forth, and all the things we've talked about. But the week seemed to go on for quite a while. This week, we're already at Thursday, and I've been in the studio every day this week. It seems like this week's flying by, so I don't know if it was because of the fair or whatever it was, but this week is definitely flying by. Do want to thank Bob Welsh for coming up from Columbus, Ohio yesterday and delivering our autographed pizza, which is now on the wall. Everybody who was at our 12th anniversary party signed the pizza crust, and it will hang on the wall here at WGH Talk for a year. So we certainly thank Bob for making the trip up yesterday. And I think Bob and I, if you have been keeping track, have finally solved our email problem. I think I can now again get emails from Bob. So I'm happy about that. We can exchange. I don't know why I could get them from Bob, but he, when I would respond, it would bounce back at me. I have no idea what was going on, but I think we've solved the problem. And I also want to thank yesterday Tom O'Neill for coming on the show, who is the eldest son of legendary Speaker of the House, probably one of the most famous Speakers of the House, Tip O'Neill. And I hope you heard that interview yesterday. Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House from 1977 until 1987 during the Carter and Reagan administrations. And he told some great stories about his father and how politics used to be. But he also told some very poignant stories about being with his father when he died and didn't expect him to die. And what his father's legacy was and what he would have thought of what his father would have thought of politics today. So I thought that was very interesting as well. So I hope you enjoyed that. Well, I do want to let you know that 250th anniversary of Marion Flyergate continues here at the studio. For a couple weeks, I had a flyer here that told us all the events coming up for the 250th anniversary of Marion, which I believe are not coming up this weekend, but the following weekend. And while I was at the fair, somehow that paper disappeared. I've looked everywhere for it. There's only so many places it can be. And I know I left it in a certain place. I don't know who hijacked it, who would have been in here last week to hijack it. But it is gone. I still cannot find it. And I guess that's the way it's going to go. So I guess we'll have to do all of this from memory, or I'll have to find another copy of it on the internet. I thought for sure that it would pop up. But apparently, that is not the case. So the paper remains missing at this particular point. The phone lines are open if you have anything you'd like to say. Today, as far as I know, is just going to be an open phone line morning. 740-383-9944 if you have anything you'd like to say. When last we were speaking, we were talking about a lot of things. We were talking about Monday night city council meeting, which is always an interesting topic, about decorum, not getting out of committee, about what's going on with the city building codes department. Apparently some contractors not very happy with that at this particular point, who we heard from on Monday. So a lot of interesting things going on there. If people have something they'd like to say in regard to that, feel free, 740-383-9944. But there is something that I did want to bring up this morning, and I don't know why this came to me yesterday, because it's not something I spend a whole lot of time talking about, and I certainly don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. But this thought came to me yesterday, because I'm going to say in the last year, this probably started about 2 years ago, but it seemingly really amped up, or ramped up, or however you would like to say it, in the last year. And I've been trying to figure out why this is, because I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but here's what it is. In Marion, specifically to Marion, now again, I don't know if this is happening other places. I don't live other places, so I don't know. But it does seem in Marion, in the last couple years, last year especially, specifically, that there's a lot of talk about Marion in general. There's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of praise. There are a lot of fancy slogans. There's a lot of t-shirts and hats and so on and so forth. There are a lot of people who come into this community and are internet influencers who say good things about Marion. There are people trying to start podcasts and so on and so forth. All of these things popping up in a great number in the last 2 years, but more specifically in the last year. And I keep thinking, why is this happening? What is going on here that has caused this boom of these things? And here is the best conclusion that I can come up with for this. Here's what's going on. I believe that for some reason, people think that Marion is in a bad way. Now, does Marion have problems? Of course it does. Do other places have problems? Of course they do. Now, do we have good things that happen here? Well, of course we do. We have a lot of good things. You know, recently, I found out we're going to get a Jets pizza, and apparently people are very happy about that. So there's some news, a Jets pizza in Marion. Culver's is going to open up. Kroger's going to get a gas station on 95. There are other gas stations coming in. So a lot of good news, a lot of things people like, but yet there are things that aren't going the way people would like them. So what does all this mean? Well, what am I trying to say here this morning? Well, here's what I have deduced that the problem is. The problem is that for some reason, if you support Marion all the time, you must think everything is good. So that's the idea. You have to agree with everything, or else you are seen as disloyal. And I'm not really sure why that is. Because I think you should be allowed to criticize things you don't like. I mean, that's what we do with everything. If we like a show, we say, well, that was a good show. If we don't like a show, we say, well, that wasn't a good show. Same thing with a city. But I don't think that makes you disloyal to the city if you criticize it. And then on the other hand, we have these influencers who come in, and people are so desperate in Marion to hear good things about Marion that they jump at somebody who is just overly positive about Marion because they want to hear good things. They're desperate to hear good things. And I'm not saying that these people don't have good intentions, but they certainly, to some degree, are doing it for themselves so they can get views and likes and so on and so forth. And by the way, nothing wrong with that if you're trying to be some kind of influencer. So I just think we have to get out of the attitude of it's us against them and don't do this and do this. Speak your mind. Don't speak your mind. Say what you want. Don't say what you want. And let's move on from there. There are bad things. There are good things. And we'll go on forth from here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm good this morning.
I'm good as well. I really, you know, the strange thing is the universe must have been sending us signals, because I was sort of thinking about the same thing about the good and the bad in Marion today as I was out perusing this morning, and I was thinking, I ordered uniforms for my son for Tri Rivers yesterday, and I was thinking what a great program Tri Rivers is in Marion, and how it's just, it's really going to change a lot of lives for a lot of kids, and it really has changed a lot of lives for a lot of people. And, you know, that's a great thing. So I was cruising around thinking about that this morning and how excited I am. So there's my positive thing about Marion today. Now, as far as your everybody has to be on all board and happy, happy, joy, joy, you're right. They're not allowed to break ranks and say, well, I think Marion's a great place to live, but we could make some improvements here, because if you do that, then you're just negative. Yeah, if you complain that one area is getting all of the attention, i.e. downtown, well, why do you hate downtown? Why don't you want Marion to prosper? Why don't you blah, blah, blah? I want the whole town to prosper, not just downtown. You know, so then I'm seen as negative, which I don't care. But, and you talked about social media and things like that. I don't understand why people want to follow my life on social media. And I actually gave up the monetization portion of Facebook, because Facebook was wanting you to do, like, so many posts a week and so many reels a week and this and that and the other. And that's, I don't want to do that. So I told him, I don't want to be paid for this anymore. So,
well, that's the, yeah. See, and that's the other part of this. And again, I have never known a time where you weren't allowed to be critical of the place that you lived in without being thrown under the bus. But then I
negative Nelly. You get always.
Yeah, but I guess I don't understand that, because there have always, you know, roads are an example. People who drive the roads complain about the roads all the time. There are potholes
right now.
Yeah, there are potholes on this street. You're redirected. The detours are horrible. You know, well, that's a complaint about your city, but, you know, now that would be seen as a horrible thing. But on the other side of this, we have people, and I'm not speaking about anybody in particular, because there are about three or four of these things going on now, which is maybe why this made me think about it. There are these people who I think would be considered internet influencers, who their sole purpose is to be a cheerleader for Marion, and people gravitate to that in a great number, and again, nothing wrong with that, but it's almost like Marion is some abused child that needs attention, good attention. And I don't understand that, because there are so many good things around here that you could say any day of the week. I don't get that.
There are many, many good things. The YMCA Rec Center that we just, I can't say just, it's been back up and running for the past 2 years or so. It's a great program. And you know what? As much as I think the pool is a boil on the behind of the city's finances, we have a very nice aquatic center. You know? Or can we afford it? That's a whole other story. But we have some nice things in Marion. We really do. But then to say, you know, things like, all right, we have this area that doesn't have a sidewalk, or that area can't get this, or we've got, you know, hungry people that are going without, and you guys are raising rent to, or you're selling all these properties and raising rent to $1,800, or, you know, you're screwing our long-term contractors on a building code that Mike Neff's buddy got set up. You know, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on stickers that we don't have money for. You start saying those things, and you just hate Marion. You hate people in it. You know, I want to go to the DD levy. When I was pointing out just the salaries, all I did was posted the salaries that the directors make there. I didn't say, don't vote for this. I didn't say, I didn't say anything. I just posted once a week the salaries that the directors out there made. People, why do I hate the disabled population? Why do I want to steal this service from that person? And why do I want to do this? And why do I hate everyone? And why am I so negative? Did anybody ever consider that maybe I was pointing out that we're spending money on employing these people that we should be spending on services for the individuals that they're intended for? Not that I hate disabled people or people that have developmental disabilities. I hate the fact that the people sitting in their ass on their asses in the office are getting six figures while we're threatening to cut services to the people that need them. That's what I hate.
Well, here's where I think partially this popped in my mind last night, aside from the fact that I'm starting to see all these people pop up, and they all seem to have a little bit of an agenda in that, you know, if I say good...
Are they all real estate related?
Well, no, there are some that are not real estate related.
Are they primarily real estate related?
Well, there's a lot of those.
That's what I'm seeing, a lot of the real estate community coming together.
Well...
Boy, do I have a story about that.
Well, here's the thing. The thing of it is last night we had a big discussion during our Wednesday night show before we found out that this Plattner had dropped out in Maine. This Democratic candidate.
He did drop out.
Right.
But I haven't had the news on yet this morning, so.
But last night the discussion we were having was before we knew that.
No. Oh, okay. So
yes.
He did then drop out.
He did, yes. He dropped out last night.
Okay, I knew he was planning, but I had not heard how he was going to do it.
But we were we were having the discussion last night about this, and the discussion was, if you are in Maine, and if you don't want him to be your next senator, don't vote for him. He will not be your next senator. Now, I guess the counter-argument to that is that you're going to have to vote or abstain from that election, and possibly Susan Collins will continue in that position, and you might not like her. Well,
she needs to go, too. How do we get everybody out of Maine and start over?
Well, yeah, but this is how elections work.
Well, I was going to say, it's not my state, so I can't complain. I can only peanut gallery on those things.
Right, but yeah. I guess the point I was getting to last night during that show was if he is a horrible candidate, and if he does not want to leave that position, because there was a finite amount of time for him to get out, and
that's
we were approaching...
Candidate.
Well, don't vote for him.
Right.
Don't vote for him. And that's the way it would go. And I kind of feel that way about these things in Marion. If you don't like a certain project, don't support it. But there are other things to support, and I kind of get the feeling that the whole idea, here's the thing about the monetization on social media that I think is hurting a lot of areas. If you know that you have to be positive all the time to get the likes and get the views and get all of whatever you're trying to get, the money in the end, then you're going to do that whether you believe it or not.
Yes.
And that's a...
Thine own self be true.
Right. But that also works the other way. If you think negative drives it, then maybe you're negative all the time. I don't know. But the point is that I don't think either one of these things is good. I think people should just give their honest opinion and let the chips fall where they may. And I'm not sure what the criticisms are of people either way. You know, if you want to...
my honest opinion has made me a lot of enemies with strangers. Again, I do not care. But it has also made, endeared me, I suppose, to absolute strangers.
But, I think that's that goes both ways. I think a lot of people feel that. You know, that some people will like you because of what you say, and some people are going to dislike you for what you say. But that's kind of the way it goes when you put something out in the public. But we've got to stop acting. Here's, I guess, the bottom line of this. If we need people to tell us we're great all the time, or we are so affected by criticism, then that is a big problem of this city right there. Because we should be proud of what we have on our own. We should not need somebody to tell us.
I didn't understand why we needed the D.C. foodie guy to come to Marion and tell us about all the restaurants that have been here.
Well,
however long.
Well, I mean, I think he's an influencer. I think he's trying to make money. I mean, isn't that
the goal? Well, he was definitely trying to make money, but I don't understand why the people of Marion grabbed a hold of it. He wasn't on TV. He wasn't, you know, anything other than somebody that came in and pronounced themselves as a used car salesman slash snake oil salesman, somewhere in between there. And we gave him, or I didn't, Marion gave him the due that he thought they thought he deserved. And where is he now?
I don't know.
In the meantime, he's standing kids up at the YMCA and, you know, all this other stuff. That's a neither here nor there. But and not tipping servers at Baker's Pizza after he ate $80 worth of free food and, you know, all sorts of things.
Well, no, but I mean, again, if people like him and the restaurants are willing to do that, then
right, but do you need him to tell you to go to Perkins to have a piece of pie, or did you already know about Perkins?
Well, I think this is the problem that I'm trying to speak of, is that, you know,
Why is Perkins better because DC the foodie said it was than it was last week?
Well,
you know
I don't know. I don't know how many people are showing up to these places because he's been there. I don't know if that's a real thing or not. So I don't know what is true and what is false. But what I will say is, if he wants to do that, good. All I'm saying is, why is there a need for people to hear that? Don't they believe it themselves already? You know, I have been here my entire life. So, you know, I'm here because I do like it. I do like things about Marion. So I don't need to feel compelled every day to tell you why I'm here. I think the fact that I'm here should tell you something.
I read a thing the other day. It was a very good article, and it was about getting our high school students to stay in town after they graduate instead of, you know, we all have the move away to the big city. I can't say all, but, you know, most kids dream, I'm moving away, I'm getting out of here. What we need to do instead of making our towns appealing to tourists, who obviously just come and go, we need to make our towns appealing to our high school students. So even if they do go away to school, they come back here to live. And I think we have that very backwards right now. I think we're trying to appeal to tourists and out-of-town people. And we see it. We have population leaving. I mean, that's census data. And we're trying to appeal to a whole... It's gentrification, and basically what that means is we're trying to up-class Marion. We're trying to bring in a higher wage-earning people, a little classier level of folks, I suppose, is the way you would explain gentrification. But what we need to do is, like my son that's still laying upstairs in bed right now, turns 17 tomorrow, we need to make opportunities for when he finishes school, he wants to come back here, and he can earn the $40, $50, $60 an hour that if he drives a half hour south or west or east or north that he can make.
Yeah, but here's the thing that is kind of bizarre to me.
The generational, though, that's how you build cities. You don't bring people in from Delaware, and then they have kids, and then those people stay here, and then they stay here, and then they stay here. It's the generations of people that already live here, getting them to stay here or to come back here is how we will build a strong city that is economically sound. And I want to get to this story real quick, just because it has to do with housing. And, you know, we want to get all of these houses and these blighted houses and all this other stuff. There's this house. I can stand on my front porch and see it. A family was murdered back in the 70s back there. And it's, I don't think anyone had done anything to it since then. And people came and went from it. People would buy it. People would sell it. Renters would come. Renters would go. The house was a mess. All right. Somebody from Columbus bought it. And I just read in city planning, now they want to turn it into a halfway house. I mean, this is right in the middle of a residential area. This is what they're trying to do to Marion. They're trying to sell everything, make Marion great. We've got these cheap properties, bring these Columbus investors up. They're going to rehab these properties and everything else. They're going to rehab them into rehab houses, or they're going to rehab them into $1,800 a month rentals. So, you know, when we're supposed to be grateful that these people want to invest in our town, no, they're making it harder to live here. And everybody's just patting them on the back and handing them properties, and here you go, congratulations. So Tuesday, I'm going to drag my behind up to city planning and ask Josh Daniels, since I have over $500,000 invested right in this area, and I can see this house, if I'm allowed to be concerned by this issue or not. Because regional planning said, no, it shouldn't happen. They want to put six people in a house that's about 10 feet, up to six people that's about 10 feet from the house next door. There's zero parking. And six people and a staff member. So we're going to park seven people in front of my house. I'll be damned.
Well,
but that's what they're doing. That's development, and they're bringing people in from Columbus instead of, why don't we take these houses and help people that live locally? Why don't we help them obtain them and help them obtain the money to rehabilitate them, and then they have some equity in the house, and then they have a reason to stay here instead of turning these houses, completely renovating them, and then turning them into rehab houses where people will be in and out causing trouble in the middle of residential neighborhoods. That's not how you bring people here to stay. If that turns into a rehab house, I'm going to seriously start considering looking into selling mine to rehab guy, and he can have them all. This can just be rehab block, and I'll go live in the country.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's a false narrative going on in general, and maybe this is why we've gotten the way we've gotten, is that people believe that right now is the biggest downturn in Marion history, and that just isn't 80. True. Well, it's the 80s, but I mean, if you look at the 90s in Marion, which apparently people look back on very fondly, that is when the shovel left. That is right after Tecumseh left.
I don't remember. I was in high school in the 90s, and I don't remember when Marion Power Shovel left.
Well, it left under Jack Kellogg, so I know it had to be the 90s. So that.
Well, I mean, I believe you, but I just don't. I mean, it might not have been something that I was paying attention to as a teenager, but I just don't remember it.
So that was the era that went down. Tecumseh had just went down in the 80s. Whirlpool was doing pretty well in the 90s, but we did not have an aquatic center. We did not have much new coming in. That was the start.
Lincoln Pool was a good time, man.
But people always complained about how bad shape it was in.
We had Fair Park Pool too, and it's gone.
Well, it was pretty much closed down by the 90s. Early 90s, it was starting to go downhill. But, you know, you had all these things that we did not have in the early 2000s. And for some reason, people see that as a great time. That's when the malls started to go down. That's when the Delaware Avenue started to see itself fall apart.
I was still shopping the mall in the 90s, Spears.
Oh, by the late 90s, it was in not good shape.
No, I would say that I graduated in the late 90s, but in the early 90s, I was definitely still shopping.
Oh, the early 90s were okay for strip malls. But
I was getting dropped off with a 20 by my parents.
But the late 90s is when we started to see places like Kmart leave town, and
Polaris ate our lunch. Do you remember when people from Delaware used to come to Marion to shop? I do. I went to church in Delaware, and the people that I went to church with would come to Marion to go to Meijer
to
Walmart because they didn't have one.
But people also act as if nobody ever went anywhere else to shop. People always went to like Lima.
Northland Mall.
Kenton. But I do not understand why people act as if... we had no college here at that time where you could get a four-year degree.
No.
In the 90s.
No.
So that came about. Troy
Marion
Rivers...
Tech is much more prominent now than...
Absolutely.
Troy Rivers was almost like an alternative school at one point.
Well, you went there if you wanted to be a hairdresser or a mechanic. That was about...
Or if they didn't think you were going to have any other viable path. At one point, if they didn't think you were going to have any other viable path to be a productive adult, Tri Rivers might have been the catch-all at one point. Now it's I don't want to say cutthroat, but now you've got to have some skills. I don't mean like...
But we also... We had the whole scandal with River Valley and the cancer scare. That was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was not a great time, although people look back on it now as, boy, that was a great time compared to now. I don't think I don't think that was the good old days.
I have to think about this as far as the 90s go, only that affordability as far as living was different. Because in the 90s, I could have left high school and went to Whirlpool and gotten a job, and within a year or so, I would have been able to afford my own apartment, and realistically, you know, eventually at some point, supported a family with my salary, but now, you can't make it on $40,000 a year. I think Whirlpool starts around $20 or $21 an hour. You're talking about $40,000 a year. You can't make it on $40,000 a year when you've got $1,800 a month rent because we brought Columbus developers in here.
But that's a fairly recent development.
You're right, because I worked as a server making $2.13 an hour plus tips in the early 2000s and paid $500 a month in rent plus my utilities.
Right.
You couldn't do it now, I don't think, unless you worked 50 or 60, 70 hours a week.
But I look back to that River Valley scare, and nothing was really ever proven there, and yet, I don't remember
Didn't people get money from that?
I don't remember that. I never remember anything being fully proven, because the building to this day has never been torn down.
The building is gone.
No, the high school's still there.
I'm pretty sure the high school's gone. I was just out there the other day.
Well, they just must have recently torn it down.
You live out that way. You're probably right. I may not have been looking for the building. I was actually looking at GTE and thinking about how that, what a blow that was to make
economy.
Well,
and by the way, but that was open in the 90s. That didn't close. But I guess my
point... That was one of my first adult jobs, and it was a very good paying job.
Right,
those
but I guess...
great paying jobs.
But I guess the point here again is that there were a lot of rough things going on here in the 90s that people did not like. There were a lot of businesses leaving town at that point. There were a lot of things not...
You know, we still had police. We still had fire. We didn't have curbside... Maybe we did have curbside recycling then. But you know what I mean? We weren't losing services. Yes, we were losing businesses, but the city was still maintaining. Now we're hearing the states coming in where, you know, we're not recycling anymore. We don't have enough police officers. The firefighters are putting out a statement saying, hey, we might not be able to get to you in case of an emergency.
But, well, in that era, though, the technology at the hospital was not nearly as good as it is now. And
no, and I think people demand health care more, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think people demand healthcare more.
But I guess the overarching view of this conversation is that there were different problems then, but there were problems,
mm-hmm.
and there are different problems now. There are problems. I don't.
You know what we had back then too, Scott?
What's
communicators,
that?
People that would communicate with us and tell us what was going on.
But see, I think that is the main problem. I don't think that Marion has changed all that much in that we had problems then, we've got problems now, and in the 80s we had problems. There's problems all the time. No city operates without problems. No county operates without problems.
I don't believe Marion has fully, you can just look at the statistics on this. Marion hasn't fully recovered from, you know, all the factories leaving in the 80s. And then we had the economic decline in 2008 with the housing. We just have never fully recovered, but that's very common for this area. That's why we're known as the Rust Belt.
Yeah, but the problem now is, it's not so much what are the problems and how can we fix them and do you like living here. Now the problem seems to be more of you must feel that things are better or else there is...
If you're not for us, you're against us.
Yeah, but...
There's no in between.
But that seems to be what the big problem is with people. And, you know, if everybody around here thought everything was great, that is not... It's not going to fix the problem.
I'm going to use Rob Cowell and I as an example. Rob Cowell and I do not agree on everything about the city. We don't agree on all the policies and procedures or everything else. But Rob Cowell has always treated me respectfully and spoke to me kindly, and I've done the same to him. And I like Rob Cowell. And if he needed something and I could help him out, I would do it. We don't agree on everything.
But see,
I say negative things, I say positive things. He sponsors, you know, so the kids can go swimming at the pool. We can get along with each other, though, just even though we disagree.
But
I don't
understand
the point,
why
though, we can't.
Because everything is personality-driven now. Everything is personality-driven, and that is what is killing this place around here. That comes back to, I'm going to say something negative, okay, I'm out of this. You're going to say something positive, okay, people are so desperate to hear something positive, they want to jump on the bandwagon. It's all personality. You know, it doesn't change what's going on in the city. It doesn't change if the streets are in good shape. It doesn't change if business is coming to town. It's all personality driven. And you know, maybe this is just an affectation of the social media and the internet. I don't know. But I don't think that is helping anything at all.
Well, I think it goes all the way up to the White House, too, when we want to start talking about personality, because I don't think the politicians... you've talked about rowdy constituents in the past, but I don't think the politicians have ever dealt... Not most politicians have dealt with constituents the way we have seen constituents be dealt with until Donald Trump came into office. I mean, there were some abrasive politicians in the past, but they didn't call names. They didn't tell people to sit down and shut up, you know, that sort of thing. That behavior has become normalized because of him. That's my opinion.
Well, I've looked recently at these two, and there have been a lot of tragedies, you know, that we've had over the years, but these two recently with the poor, I mean, my goodness, the 16-year-old boy who was killed on the 4th of July, And the 19-year-old girl who was killed back in May, I believe it was.
Yes.
And, you know, I look at these things, and those are moments where people do come together, and they will donate money, and they will do things. And that should be the mark of a good, caring, personality-driven community.
September 12th, 2001. Remember how the United States came together, how we were all Americans that day, how it didn't matter where you were from or what color your skin was or who you were or what religion you were. We all loved each other that day, and we all appreciated each other that day. And we all felt pride and grief in our hearts as Americans.
Right, and in these moments, people do come together. That is what you will find, is in these tragic moments, people who are criticizing this or promoting that or so on and so forth, those people do seem to come together in those moments. And they do show up for those people who need to be shown up for. And I think that should be the hallmark of a community.
Yes.
I don't think it should be, you know, oh, do you dislike this? Do you like that? You know,
when
who cares?
When food stamps get cut, do we give $25,000 to food banks? That's the mark of a good community.
Well, right, but I just, it is amazing.
For the kids that can't afford to go to the YMCA rec center, do we give scholarships? That's the mark of a good community, you know, that those sort of things. Not do we hate people that get up and tell the truth and ask why their neighborhood can't get the same treatment as everybody else.
Well, but also on the other side, I don't think people should be attacking the people who are just saying nice things. Now, whatever their motivation is, whatever.
No, if you want to talk about how great this is, this and that is, that's wonderful. Don't do it on the government dime. You know, don't pour, like, for example, last year, the community street, the Center Street Market uptown there, right across from the courthouse. The parking lot is privately owned by another person that doesn't live in Marion. They live in Lancaster. And that baby had potholes that if I stepped in one, I'd probably be knee deep. There were some really bad potholes up there. What did they do? They knew Alan Wilson, who's downtown Marion manager, who's friends with Mike Bodine. So they call him up and they use city resources to patch private property. And then they throw it on the internet talking about how great it is. Well, you know, we have actual potholes that deep in streets that we can't get fixed, so why are we fixing it on private property? But when you say that, you're negative. Well, why don't you want the downtown to have nice parking places? Well, I want everybody that travels the city of Marion to benefit from our tax dollars, not just the people that go downtown.
Well, I just wish people...
But that's negative.
I just wish people, if they really wanted to do something good for this community, to do it. Just go do something good.
There's plenty of places to volunteer.
If you want to promote something good, do it. I don't see why all this... Listen, every community is going to have criticism. There is not a community around here that I can't think has not been criticized for something. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's how it's going to be. Especially government. People love to criticize government. But the point is, if you don't like that, then just say something good. Say something good that happened to you. Say some good place you went to. I don't know why there is such a clash about all of this.
I love it when people will come to my Facebook page and just say the meanest, nastiest things. Well, no, because try to say the meanest, nastiest things that they can come up with to me in response to calling me a negative person. Why are you so negative? You're such a negative. And then just, you know, fill in the blanks with every name that you can think of. And that's why people hate you. Okay, you're coming here to tell me I'm negative. Stranger, absolute stranger that I have no idea who you are. And you're also telling me that people hate me, but I'm the negative one. Let's think about that for a second. Does that one make sense to you?
Well, no, but I also am curious as to why people feel the need in this area to be picked up. You know, I never felt the need living in this area for somebody to tell me all of the good things that were going on. I know the good things that are going on.
Well, sadly, when, you know, we go around, drive around our town every day and see the poverty and the blighted houses and the businesses leaving and, you know, all the sights that we see that remind us of the human suffering around us, I suppose people need to be reminded every now and then of the Palace is having a show this weekend, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying is there have always been...
If you drive through Marion and you pick another community, let's say Delaware. I know we compare ourselves to Delaware a lot, and we're just two different areas. We need to stop. But Delaware is cleaner. The houses typically tend to be nicer. The streets are cleaner. The cars are nicer.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In Marion, there... And this is true, and people can say whatever they want about this. Anytime you were ever doing something in Marion, and you called for help in some way, that you needed help with your project, the people, 9 times out of 10,
yes,
that would show
yes
up were the people who did not have the money, were the people
mm-hmm
who were the lower economic end of
yep
things,
yep,
and it was always that way.
Because they're the recipients, or have been, of those services in the past. You know what? I actually had someone trying to condescend me, one of the fancy folks here in Marion. Imagine being a poor person like you out trying to help other poor people. I said, you mean like Jesus?
Well, I just don't understand. That has always been the case. So the people who act as if there aren't two different places, well, there are. I mean, there just are. There are, but I don't know that it's two. It's probably much more layered than that.
Imagine saying that to someone, though. Imagine being a poor person out trying to help poor people. I mean, okay. That tells me more about you than I'll ever need. I don't even need to respond to that. Well, when I said, like, Jesus, they shut up, because I don't think Jesus is very wealthy. But yeah, I'm looked upon as a poor person. And because I was going to volunteer, I was promoting a laundry night, I think it was. And their comment on a public comment from someone that we would all know if I said their name, and yes, I have the screenshot, imagine being a poor person. I don't know if they didn't mean to hit send or not, but imagine being a poor person out trying to help other poor people. Okay. And then I have other people commenting, if people would just get 40-hour-a-week jobs, they wouldn't need people to do their laundry for free.
But, okay, you know, people used to be smarter about this, and maybe that was the difference, is that if somebody was criticizing you constantly, what people would do is they would either completely ignore it, or they would try to bring that person into what they were doing. They would say, you know, I understand your point of view. I don't necessarily agree with it, but here's what I'm doing. Would you like to help? Because then that puts them in a different position.
Hey, it's not very often that I get to compare myself to the Messiah, so I was going to take that one. But as your thing with the recycling, everybody and their brothers on the internet complaining, I'm not going to recycle, I'm just going to throw it all away. I said, let me guess, you already throw it all away now. No, I rinse and put everything to the curb every week, and I won't be doing that anymore. I said, well, let me tell you what. I said, you go ahead and you still do that. You put your recyclables to the curb every week. You give me your address. I'll stop by and pick them up. I'll switch you out with an empty blue bin. We don't ever have to talk. I'll have it done before 9 a.m. on whatever your recycling day is. They didn't respond.
Well, see, and that's it. I think some people just want to complain.
There was a solution to their problem, and they didn't want to take it.
But it's amazing to me the amount of attacking that goes on. How does attacking help anything from anybody?
Because they think you're going to shut up. Because typically people would. I mean, I've had entire smear campaigns against me with tens of thousands of comments. I've gotten messages, I've gotten hate mail, actual hate mail in my mailbox. I've also gotten cards of people telling me they love me, and people sent me gift cards at Christmas that I donated. And I don't get it. I really don't get it, but I don't back down. Now, most people, when they started getting hate mail and messages in their inbox and strangers telling them that they hate them, they would probably shut up.
Yeah, but before the break comes up, I want to make a point about something you said earlier. You said you don't agree with Rob Callan a whole lot with what's going on
mm-hmm
in the city, but you like him and you would help him. Be- because he used the tactic that I'm just talking about. He probably doesn't agree with a whole lot of the things that you say and you post, but he brought you in instead of attacking you.
Yes. We're great friends with each other.
Right. He said, you know what? Let me get to the bottom of this. Let me see what's going on.
Yes.
And he brought you into his situation.
And there's been a couple of times that things that have been going on over here, he's asked me, if you're over that way and you don't mind, would you take a peek at that for me? And I've sent him a picture of a property that, you know, they were in the process of enforcing some rules on, and saved him a trip, you know, over the railroad tracks, because I was heading that way, and I sent him the picture.
Right, and, you know? And that's all technique. I mean, that is
yes.
a technique to get somebody who,
yes.
who you may not see eyeball to eyeball.
He did
with.
Not make an enemy of me.
No, I mean, what do they do? What do you do with children in school who are acting out? Hey, I want you to be my helper today. I want you
mm-hmm.
to keep an eye on what's going on over here. Now,
he's not controlling me, though. He and I have a mutual respect for each other. But, yes,
but I mean,
right.
you. Well, I mean, even if he didn't, even if it was all just a smokescreen to calm down
right.
the anger. It is a technique. It's a technique.
Yeah. As hard as I'll fight against something, I will fight for it. So if you can bring me on board, even if it's just, you know, keep me on the back burner and it's something we agree on, then we can fight for it together.
And here comes the break.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks. We'll be back right after this.
Can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before,